Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking about a 4-hour flight time today. We got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com, where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Afternoon delight.
What makes you think you're the one?
You're damn right. Let's go. Hour number one on a Tuesday. Week's getting going. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling is producing, getting you the great intros. We got a little rain in the area today. High of 85. It's cooling things down. So rain showers, few likely. 60% chance of rain. 50% tonight. 50% again tomorrow with a high of 84. So Troy Kimmel's exclusive Austin Radio Network forecast is telling us that you may want to take some rain gear with you the next day or so.
Yeah, I got hit, then came into the HEB/Randall's freezer department.
Dude, I felt bad
for
you.
Otherwise known as this office building.
I've never seen, normally when I see you, you are standing straight up. You have fairly good posture as far as I can tell. But you were hunched over like it was 34 degrees when you walked in.
It was almost like I was in Chinatown holding onto Trey's wrist and somehow yet he couldn't get away. I was hunched over. But I don't mind these days. You know my theory, it's odd, but what else am I going to be doing right now? I would be at home probably talking about sports in some way.
Watching a food show.
Right.
Watching the game.
So I'll get into that later. One and done.
Exactly. Rewatching a game.
Yeah. So with the raining, you and I wouldn't be out right now.
No, exactly. Right. This time of day doesn't matter to me.
So?
Where it matters.
This is a freebie.
Where it matters is.
It's a freebie.
For you people out in traffic, as we always say, let's be careful. Let's not be too careful.
Yeah. Oh, man. I had one that was. Sweet old gal. No, I have no idea. But she was just. I could tell it was a woman. She kind of looked back, and I was like, you know what? I feel bad for you, because she may have been a little bit too much for her, and I think she was old in age. So remember that, too, Chad.
What's that?
When I saw that.
When you saw there
were a lot
age.
Of people on my butt, but I'm like, all right, let's understand that this is not someone being a jerk.
Yeah, no, that's fair. By the way, this just reminded me when you said that. I'm sorry, I just banged my ring on the table. My bad.
You got your ring on. Which one was that?
Over the weekend, that was the Aggie ring.
It's not the wrestling one?
No, I don't have a wrestling.
Where's the Flair ring? Where's the Flair ring?
I do not have a replica Hall of Fame Ric Flair ring. That is a myth. That is totally a myth. So
I'll be wearing my rings that you got me coming up.
Oh, that's right. Your Cubs championship rings. You get figured out how you're going to do that? Is there like a system?
I only have three to choose from. So.
I know. So do you know you have a rotation?
I don't know.
Rotation,
I don't know if we get to a game four and we're not doing well. What do I do?
Ooh, we got the baseball playoffs starting tonight. We'll definitely get to that. But I did have a situation this weekend where I kind of had to start the conversation with my dad about, you know, when you're driving, you need to pay attention.
Ooh.
Like my dad's 71 now.
Okay.
And two situations real fast in a row over the weekend, I had to give him the, well, hang on, truck's coming, and then let it go by. And I go, and then I said to him, it's us. We can say anything to each other. And I was like, hey, we're going to have the son talks to the dad, ABC after school special. We're going to have one of those moments here.
Oh, no.
We're going to need to talk about your driving.
I learned it from watching from you, all right?
Learned it from you. Yeah, so we did have that. All right, before we get.
How did he take it? Because I don't want to have that. I don't think Bob will take that as well as Doc did.
No, he didn't tell me to, you know, F off or anything like that.
I'm not saying Bob would say that. Obviously, you would.
He claimed he was distracted by our conversation. So
that's not a good excuse, and he knows that.
I know. I said, okay. And I said that to him. I said, we've had plenty of conversations.
Oh, I was distracted by the phone. Okay, well, that's
on you.
Yeah, that's.
Tell me to shut up.
Was he looking at you?
No. I don't. No, he was not. No, he was acting. And that's the other.
That is such
bad
a big
part.
Pet peeve.
I know. So we got to figure that part out too.
Because you can have the conversation and still drive.
Yes. Oh yeah. Well, if he and I looked at each other while we drove, we'd already been in 30 accidents apiece.
I would think.
because we talk constantly. Like, it never stops.
What are the hands? Like, your hands are moving right now. Are his hands moving when he's driving? Is that another problem?
At least one. You got to have one on the wheel and there's one moving. Absolutely, of course. That's the way we talk.
He's directing traffic.
That's the way it works. Before we get into the sports today, something we talked about yesterday did happen overnight in the music world. We did lose Tom Petty last night.
You're all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. I've been listening to a lot of Tom today.
I listened to some last night and I thought, you know, I guess I hadn't listened to a couple of them in 5 or 10 years, and it was, man, that guy was really good. It was a classic, wasn't
he? Yeah, there's
American classic.
A lot of stuff in there that you would love, and I was listening to tracks today where I thought, Kevin,
oh, it's right up my alley.
Kevin would dig that, because to me it is, if you can't stand like Bruce Springsteen's voice and Bob Dylan's voice, Tom to me is right below them in terms of the level of.
See, I'm fine with his voice.
Annoyance of the voice. It's a clear voice. You can always hear what he's saying. Love the songwriting. Yep. It is wonderfully simple. I know sometimes I can use the word simple and you might think it's an insult. Not here.
Right.
It's wonderfully simple because he writes about things that everyone can relate to. It's about love. It's about loss. It's about boyfriends and girlfriends and just basic stuff. And it's beautifully written. The guitar playing is
incredible.
And
I'm glad you're cool with that because you're saying that.
Oh, yeah.
It's up my alley, but you've got a little more complex view on music than I do.
Well, and because I know you are, because knowing that you like Jack Johnson,
mm-hmm.
which that tells me after listening to Jack a little bit, I know you are into well-written lyrics, yep. well-written songs, and songs you can hear.
Right.
Right?
I can hear Tom.
Yeah, and you can kind of hear the stuff coming through there. So Christina in our office is trying to recover. She's taking it probably the hardest. And so if we want to throw out the conversation, apparently Trey and Brad had the conversation, but is there a better American rock band than Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers? We can have the discussion. I think they're in it. For me, they're the one, but I can understand why you'd have some other groups in there. So
now, this is incredibly subjective, is it not?
Sure, really subjective.
So if I said Pearl Jam, I'm not an idiot.
No, Pearl Jam. And Pearl Jam's one I hadn't thought about until today.
Does Outkast count?
I would take Outkast out of the discussion.
Yes, Outkast counts.
They're not a rock band.
They're a band, though. We're talking
American
about
band.
Greatest American band.
Oh, you're expanding it to any form of music.
Band is group of people getting together to make music.
So White Stripes counts. Now,
I got the definition of band. I'm just making sure. So we're not going rock band. You're going all bands.
I think to make this a respectable conversation for American music, we have to expand it to band.
Okay, so you're putting Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, the White Stripes, and NWA all in the same discussion.
Yep.
I like it. Okay.
DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Well, I mean.
And the Fresh Prince.
Come on. I think that's technically a duo. Hopefully we can take
them out. White Stripes. Does that count?
Ooh, that's a great point.
Two people
can make a band. You're right. All right.
I was kidding about, Will Smith and crew.
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Back in the discussion. They're back in. All right.
Stripes could be, though, right?
The Stripes could be.
I mean, you guys obviously got to lead this, and all I can do is just tell you what I like.
Dude, you're into one of them.
I'm into all those I just mentioned.
Yeah, one of them wouldn't be an American version, because I know you're into U2 as well. But being into Pearl Jam, you're at a pretty good part of that discussion, because I think absolutely you could have a discussion about Pearl Jam and if they are in that category. I think they are. They're in the discussion. I'd put them in there.
Glad to hear that.
Even then, Trey made a great point before we came on the air. Even with the short amount of time they were a band, Nirvana's in the discussion.
Yeah, I would think.
They're the Jim Brown of this conversation.
They are. They're the Jim Brown or the Gale Sayers
conversation. I like that.
They're out too quick. But people also know that Jimi Hendrix's career was very short time-wise. Stevie Ray Vaughan's was very short.
Now, was there a conspiracy to take Sayers out?
Ooh, now that I cannot prove. I know
you and Trey are all over that Cobain thing.
I cannot prove that they
took Gale Sayers. I know you're all over
that.
I still got to see that.
All right, so we'll definitely hit that today. But also, it is the horn, and we are right in the middle of game week, and it's not just any game week around here. It's Purple Week. Kansas State's coming to town.
Yeah.
They are all-time 10-7 against Texas. Not many teams can say that in an all-time record. They're 9-4 in the Big 12 against Texas. They are 3-6, though, in Austin in this series. So far in the Big 12, it's dead even. 3-3 in games here in Austin. So stop and think about that for a second.
Now, they did win one with 100 and how many total yards?
Oh, it was not much. Yeah, I don't have that number in front of me, but I think I know the game you're talking about.
I want to say 21, but that can't be it. It's got to be 60-something.
So last night, I went back and I watched Oklahoma State and Texas Tech, finished it up. We'll put that to the side. And then I watched K-State Baylor.
Okay.
I know you got a chance to see K-State and Baylor when it happened.
Yep. Rewatched it, a lot more of it last night.
Okay, perfect. So give me your thoughts on this K-State team that's coming to Austin. What do you see? What scares you? What doesn't scare you? What jumps out?
I thought they'd be better.
Okay.
Can I say that?
I agree.
Now some of that may be getting back to subjective, me overrating them and thinking that now that the old man's in the club, the cancer club, that with his brilliance and, you know, enough veterans that we've seen this formula before. But we've also seen them change a lot. You know, not really dynamic in the passing game at, I don't want to say that. They can be dynamic in the passing game,
yeah.
Right?
It's all right, but it's not the best right. They've been.
It's not the best they've been.
Lockett's not walking through that door.
He's not walking through that door. Pringle's someone to deal with.
Pringle's good.
You know?
Pringle's good. My fear, if I'm a K-State fan going into a game like this, is Pringle all I've got? Do I have anything that can scare him other than Pringle?
I was going to ask you, because that was what I was thinking watching.
Because can't you just, if you're Todd Orlando, could you just take number 5, put your arm around him and say, that's your guy? You go cover number 9
mm-hmm.
all day long.
Yeah.
Holton Hill on Pringle, and then everything else changes.
Yeah.
That would at least be a beginning of a plan.
I mean, I would think.
And that could be tough for K-State, because I'm wondering if these other guys, I didn't feel the tight ends in the game against Baylor. Maybe I missed something.
That's because you're looking for him so much.
Yeah, right.
Seriously, true. You know?
Like, I felt the fullback more. That Winston Dimmel kid is good.
Very good.
And they use him in a lot of ways. The little receiver, Dominique Heath, great name, 5'9", 175. He's pretty good, but I don't know that he's something that really terrifies you.
No, Barnes is a good player. He's averaging 5 a pop.
He's good. I'll tell you who. Now
Ertz is averaging 6 a pop. Ertz scares you more in the run game, and the reason I say their passing game, I mean, he's 5 touchdowns. He's not. It's Kansas State, so everything's relative.
Yeah.
But for them, even them, it's not really scary. He's thrown 82 passes on the year. He's at 52%. I'm more worried about the run and then play action off of that. And I wouldn't forget about the tight ends.
I'll say this, too. Correct me if I'm wrong here. I thought Jesse Ertz's arm looks better this year. Like, you can be a running...
He looks cleaner.
You can be a running quarterback that throws the ball, but he looks like a quarterback throwing it this year.
I agree.
Is that fair?
Yes, it is.
His mechanics are better. He's smoother.
Yeah. No, he's smoother. There's no doubt. He's cleaner.
And he doesn't throw...
And I noticed that against Vanderbilt.
Okay.
I noticed it, but I also noticed that their offense just was not moving, and it had no rhythm.
Yeah.
Now, they had more rhythm against Baylor, and this is where you really got to lean on Todd Orlando. This is going to be a low-scoring game, and this is going to be a game where field goal kicking could be important. And what has McCrain done this year? I know that he was dynamite last year.
Yeah, and he hit one. I know he hit a...
He's 8-for-10.
Yeah, and he hit a pretty big one against Baylor. In fact, he hit a...
Long of 53. Perfect from extra points.
Yeah, I mean...
So he's been what we thought. And going into the game, you would give them an advantage on that, even though Roland seemed to gain some confidence by not only going back and talking to the JUCO kicking coaches, but also kind of getting, as he said on the postgame show, getting his head straight. And what a difference it is with a kickoff team that you never know what exactly is going to be there, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I agree with you that it's I think there's low score. I don't think the winner has 20 in this game. I think it's going to be into that bar fight area where Texas was last game. I mean, that's the...
Oh, no, it could be 20, because I say that.
Area.
I doubt it, but it could be.
Yeah.
Low 20s.
It could be. Yeah, maybe creeps into the low 20s.
But I don't see this getting into the 30s.
Uh-uh.
That would surprise me. Unless someone pops someone.
Like a big hit, you mean?
No, where there's a 38-14 that we didn't see coming.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I don't feel a blowout right now either way.
No.
But we know K-State has been capable of that against Texas in certain games. But I don't feel like I don't think that's what Texas is facing this time.
Defensively, what'd you think?
It's a little strange because I'm...
Because I liked him against Vanderbilt.
I liked him against Vanderbilt. I liked him at times against Baylor.
Yeah.
I liked him a lot of the time against Baylor. Baylor was sloppy in some key areas of that game. So I don't know what to do with it because... If you're a Texas fan, you haven't seen Baylor play, you can beat that team.
You can beat that team.
A little tougher in Waco, but you can beat that group. I want to see what the Texas defense can do with that.
Bring your defense and bring your pass defense, right?
Absolutely. I think the Texas defense will match up pretty well against Baylor. But I thought it was a solid K-State defense. They don't make mistakes. Will Geary's good in the middle, the D tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I like the kid.
We've seen him for a couple years.
Yeah, that the backer, the number 23 that got called for that targeting, Cree Moore.
The senior.
By the way, I know you and I are always trying to be real lenient on these targeting things or whatever, mm-hmm. but come on, kid, you can't do that.
Yeah, that one was, I mean, that was back in the day.
You and I have to throw that flag, right?
Yep.
That was bad.
Yeah.
Bad, bad.
And I'm glad there's actually some of those so you and I just at least once a month can say, see, we would throw a flag once in a while. Yeah. There actually is a time when we would.
And for those of you that maybe saw that play and were trying to remember, that was first quarter. So he will play this game. He doesn't have to sit for the beginning of the game. So I thought they were pretty good. The thing that stands out to me is what always stands out about K-State. This doesn't feel like a sloppy K-State team. They're a little sloppier than maybe the best teams they've had. But they're going to show up like they always do with two things. Bags and vanilla ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And they fill the bags and they try to smack you with it. And by the end of the day, you have either beaten them being who they are or they're going to beat you being who they are. And the one thing I like for Texas, which I'm still not sure how they've done it, but through four games, Texas is ninth in the country in time of possession.
Yeah.
Still not quite sure how, but they figured it out. If they can
those third downs we were talking about.
Yeah, if they can do to Kansas
yesterday,
State.
That's why.
Those short third downs?
No, the third down numbers on both sides for Texas. That's why the TOP is like that.
Yeah, right. They got after Iowa State off of the third down stat.
I mean, all year long. If you look at their all year long, they're top 25 offensively, I think top 10 defensively. So if you're getting people off on third down
mm-hmm.
and you're converting on third down,
that's right.
You're owning the clock.
Yeah, exactly. And that the extra important part is, can they get those short third downs like they did against Iowa State?
Right.
Because they were living at third and three and third and five and third and two all day long, and that's why Iowa State never could get the football. I'm not saying they have to go 41-19 in this game, but time of possession could be important because K-State doesn't feel like they can hold the ball like they did to Texas last year or
yeah.
like they did to Texas a couple years ago. Is that fair?
They
don't seem like they quite have that ability to hold it as long.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
To go on 20, you know, 18 or
at
20
right
play
now,
drives.
Yeah.
They don't quite have that ability. Texas and K-State, of course, is a 6 o'clock kick on Saturday evening. We fire up at the Gate 25 at DKR with Bucky and myself and Aaron and the Big Uglies at Schultz Garden at 2 o'clock, 4 hours before kick. And then, of course, 1 hour after the game, Kevin and Brad will have your post-game. Big day of college football coming. The Big 12 back in action and some good matchups that we'll be discussing throughout the week. But we'll definitely be talking Texas and K-State. So did you catch any Redskins Chiefs last night?
A little bit.
Man, that thing turned pretty good.
It did, and I was watching it when it wasn't.
Oh,
and
you
stuck.
I see. You watched it when it wasn't good.
Obviously, you watched highlights, but
you found
yeah.
Found something else. Man, I'm going to tell you what. Alex Smith is playing his ass off right now.
Mm-hmm.
Playing really well, doing what he needs to do. Andy Reid has got him, put him in good situations, and I was reminded last night, I had a flashback last night, like a PTSD kind of flashback for a football fan. When Alex Smith rolled out to his right and threw that pass down the right side to set up their game-winning field goal, I had that flashback to a Thursday night when A&M went to Utah to play some kid named Alex Smith and some young, handsome coach named Urban Meyer.
Easy there. You okay?
And they worked the Aggies that night. And it's like, oh, my God. But he was one of those guys that in this, and I heard Rod Babers talking about it today, made some great points, but he was one of those in that early wave of the spread offense with a quarterback that can do different things and run pass options and all that.
Oh, he was an RPO guy before we knew what that was.
He was so good at Utah, and now he's doing that kind of stuff in the NFL. Plus, they've already got Mahomes in the holster for whenever, you know, he's done, but Alex Smith doesn't feel done at all. They're 4-0, great game, and then Kevin...
And Andy Reid's done a good job of creating an offense that works around Alex Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith is your grandma driving in this weather. He is not taking any chances.
Right.
Trust me, I know.
He's going to be careful.
He can be check down Charlie. But if you create options with him that give him looks to where he can feel safe but still drive the ball a little bit, which is what Reed has done, then you can get something out of it. And he's gotten better.
One touchdown, no picks last night. But the number that jumped out to me, 7 carries for 56.
He could always run.
We can all do that math, right? That's right. 8 yards a carry for an NFL quarterback. That can help.
Yeah, you kidding me?
That can help in big moments. Plus, he had a touchdown run in the game. Chiefs are the only undefeated team. And you want to talk about two big games in the state of Texas this week. Cowboys fans, you probably already know, Aaron Rodgers is coming back to town to try to pick your defense apart again. That's on Sunday. And Sunday night, Kansas City comes to Houston. Now that is a ball game.
That's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah, great weekend.
I love it.
Cowboys and Texans to try to prove, because obviously if you lose, you're 2-3 for both of those teams. And we can argue that the teams coming to them are better than they are. Green Bay, you can argue, is better than the Cowboys. And obviously we can argue Kansas City is better than Houston. But we all can also argue, that's a tough sentence to say.
They
can absolutely both win that game at home doing what they do best.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens there. So good weekend of NFL games coming. Good stuff in college football as well.
Can I say this? God, in 3 years, has it changed just how much more enjoyable it is if you're a sports fan living in Texas and you're going to watch the pro teams, and if you're doing it for your living, to have what the Astros have turned into and what the Texans have turned into.
Yeah.
And you could throw in the Rockets, I guess, too.
Yeah, the Rockets to a degree. But yeah. Now at least, because
the Arrows, really, their defense has been a lot more fun this year.
Because there was a time when all three of those teams were...
just really hard to watch.
Yeah, I'm happy for H-Town fans, despite the fact that I don't root for the Houston teams. My wife is...
Are you being honest here?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
My wife grew up in Sugar Land. A lot of her family's there. And then our extended family through my sister-in-law, they're in the Houston area, and they're Texans people. So I'm talking to them all the time about the Texans. And I just hate watching people I like...
But that was the last one to turn.
...go through, like, fan pain.
And you can say, I can't believe you didn't want to watch a division winner, and even though Schaub was, you know, somewhat doable, and the defense was so good... No, I mean, it wasn't fun football to watch if you didn't have a dog in the fight.
You can win a division in the NFL with ugly football.
Yes, you can.
And now it's changed for both of those teams. And while the Cowboys had gone through you get pretty lucky with the Romo situation and it goes to Dak, Houston has not had, they never had their Romo.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't have their guy. So now they've just battled through all this stuff. And now they've got Deshaun Watson, and seeing him go up against that Kansas City defense with Houston and those guys Sunday night
is going to be
fantastic. Fantastic. And think about this, just the skill talent in that game. This young rookie running back for the Chiefs.
Have you watched him?
Oh, my God. Kareem Hunt is awesome. I feel bad for never watching Toledo games.
I'm falling in love with him on Sunday like I am on Saturday with Bryce Love.
That's it. That's totally fair.
Love can scoot.
Yeah, don't give him space because will absolutely take off. Great week of football is on the way. And also coming up, we will let you know we are going to be out and about the rest of the week. We've got your opportunity to come out and not only see us, which is well worth it, to meet Kevin. I mean, meet Kevin. You can meet me.
Pictures.
See what faces for radio look like. But then,
I do balloon animals.
That's right, Kevin.
Or small feet.
Kevin does balloon animals. Trouble is, it's only one animal.
It is only one animal.
We'll let you guess. But then we'll also give you two opportunities.
It's a raccoon.
Two opportunities to win Texas tickets to the K-State game.
Cool.
Not an armadillo?
That's coming.
I could probably, well, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't do any of that. I'm not creative, and I'm just not good with my hands on that stuff. Well, I'm creative, just not with that stuff.
The people that can really do that impress me.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I usually...
Well, I don't see how you look at it, and I would think it would pop, and how are you... It's just artist in general. Oh, look.
Right.
Blank palette. I'm gonna draw, and I can create, and I can see it. Like, yeah. That's impressive to me.
And we're going to talk about...
I got none of that.
We'll talk Tom Petty today. Same thing with musicians to me.
Same thing.
That just
same
boggles
thing.
My mind.
Well,
how that
not
happens.
Only creating it, but then also playing it. Like, when I see Zach, my buddy, and those guys, they're a good band, and they're... We got three guitar players, and they're just letting it rip. I'm like, wow.
Yeah?
I've tried. I couldn't do that.
Yeah, that is good stuff. All right.
Try radio, Zach.
Yeah. There you go. Coming up, we'll get you a Craigway Sports Report. We will get you the big three, including some of the big stories of the day, including baseball. The playoffs get started tonight. Get you a little preview of that. See what Kevin thinks of the AL wildcard game. And coming up in the 3:45 crap bag, I will tell you what I saw and heard at Kyle Field that I think can help Longhorn fans going to watch the K-State game. That's coming up on the Horn. You've heard about love, giving sight to the blind. Chad and Kevin with you on a Tuesday. Trey's going with Stevie Ray Vaughan today. He would have been 63, died back in 1990. I'd be playing Tom Petty, but Trey was playing Tom Petty earlier in the day. Bucky and Aaron played it this morning. So Trey's going to go with SRV in Austin. You can never argue with that, especially on a day when the sky is crying for multiple reasons. So happy birthday to Stevie. And as Trey pointed out, it is a big musical birthday day today. Everybody from Keb Mo to Tommy Lee to a couple other Sting.
Chubby Checker
today. Sting just had a birthday a couple weeks ago.
That's a long list.
Yeah,
the flautist from Earth, Wind & Fire.
Oh, that's good. That is good. That's one of the only bands where I'll accept a flautist. I'm not a, what's that band? The Aqualung band? Jethro Tull? Not a Jethro Tull guy. Didn't belong there.
Aqualung?
I don't even know him.
Aqualung was the song. They beat out.
Oh, it's a song. I thought it was a style.
Beat out Metallica for Best Heavy Metal Grammy. Garbage.
You didn't like that?
Garbage. Okay. That's what that was.
What is the Aqualung style? You take some water down the wrong pipe and try and sing.
I didn't know.
Aqualung.
All I do is ask questions. I'm an easy mark in this one.
Hope you're having a good Tuesday. We will get you the big three, all the stories of the day, right after a Craigway sports report.
Let's go.
Craigway.
On college campuses across the country, it's nearing midterm time. Tests and projects to mark progress to the current point of the semester. In the case of the Texas Longhorns, head coach Tom Herman says he has a project this week, trying to find a way to get his big receiving target, Colin Johnson, the football more often. It was a difficult proposition last Thursday at Iowa State because of the Cyclones' double and sometimes triple team coverages, which has left Herman searching for ways to be more creative.
He's got a unique skill set. You know, we'll just move him around. Well, you don't just move around a 6'6", 215-pound receiver. You don't go put him in the slot. You know, I mean, it's just not... and then they find him in there, and then they double him in there, and it's a fish out of water. You've got to create opportunities, whether it's when they are, leaving him one on one, of being able to recognize it prior to snapping the football and get you into a Colin Johnson play, if you will, something of that nature. We got to do a better job of getting them the football, but his skill set, you know, it's a lot different than saying, hey, we got to get Reggie the ball. Great, motion him in the backfield, run him on some jet sweeps, throw him some bubbles, all that stuff, where Colin's area of expertise is go routes and post routes. And when you take that away, it's very difficult to manufacture then other ways to get him the ball.
Meanwhile, it's on to final exam time for Major League Baseball tonight. The American League wildcard playoff sees the Yankees hosting the Twins, where New York has dominated Minnesota in the postseason, a 12-2 overall edge. The National League wildcard playoff takes place in Phoenix tomorrow night between Arizona and Colorado. Coming up tomorrow morning, preparations from the other Big 12 conference schools for a very important week in league play. That's in our next report. I'm Craig Way.
Brought to you by Bud Light.
Thank you, Mr. Way. All right, let's go big three here in the 3 o'clock hour.
Big three.
Getting ready for Texas and K-State. We're cleaning up some things from college football over the weekend. If you had a chance to watch Oklahoma State and Tech or K-State and Baylor or any other game and you have thoughts on it, the Specs text line and voicemail line is there for you. 337-3776. If you're a Longhorn fan, what do you think about the K-State matchup? If you're a Cowboy or Texans fan, you got big games coming up. What'd you think, Texans fans, of those Chiefs last night? Kansas City beat Washington 29-20. It ended up being a pretty darn good game by the end. Travis Kelce with 7 catches, 111 and a touchdown. Alex Smith, we mentioned, 8 yards a carry and a touchdown, plus a touchdown and an interception. And Kevin, that very last play was a truly unique one for the bettors, because that game went from the Redskins and the under to the Chiefs and the over in one play.
So I read that today, and I had no idea, and that was one of the first things I clicked on. It was like Vegas, you know, obviously Vegas has got real serious stuff going on, but
yes.
They're saying, look, I mean, the gamblers and the money guys was one of those nights where you could hear the what? And if you've ever been in a sports book when that happens.
See, I never have. I always hear that.
Oh, yeah. My God. When it comes down to one, I was watching an NCAA tournament basketball game.
I've heard that's the weekend to be in Vegas. First week of the hoops tournament.
Pops and I are there with my two cousins. And we're in a sports book, and I forgot how it was split up, but it was me and my other cousin were on the opposite end of something, and it was a 31-point game. It was like a 2 and a 15 seed.
Right.
With a minute to go, and the whole book is into it because it was right on the line. And they're showing the coach who's a 15 seed, right? And they score to cover, but only by one.
Okay.
And they had been fouling, and they show the coach, and he goes, "No foul, no foul, no foul." So this guy is able to dribble it out for 20 seconds while a whole book is celebrating, and the other book's like, "No foul."
Wow,
yeah,
that's
it. Could be a lot of fun, and I got that sense just reading about that would have been a wild scene.
And your guy Sean McDonough pointed that out a little bit last night. He did a good job.
He's all over that.
I think now, I think they need to, and ESPN's been told that, and I guess other networks too, that they can mention that stuff now, that so many people bet and understand it, and daily fantasy and all these things, but and that put money on games, and they did a good job of letting us know that it mattered. They didn't quite give us all the details, because Scott Van Pelt gave the details of, okay, this is why it was big.
He did a good job on that.
But yeah, that is a rarity in the betting world, but that did happen too. 29-20, Kansas City's the only undefeated team in all of football. They come to Houston this week. Green Bay comes to Dallas. We talked about those games already. In baseball, it is the AL wild card tonight, Kevin. Minnesota at Yankee Stadium. Irvin Santana and Luis Severino will be the matchup. You like the Yankees here.
Yeah, it's one game, so who knows? But go with the history. Minnesota in the playoffs has not fared well there. I'm not sure they've won.
2-12 all time against the Yankees in the playoffs.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then with Severino, I would lean with the Yanks, but who knows? I would definitely lean with Arizona because, like I said yesterday, Colorado is limping in. You look at their offensive numbers in the second half on the road, and they're going to be going up against Zach Greinke. I like Arizona and the Yanks to move on.
We'll see if New York and Arizona can take advantage of that home field. It's one game, but...
Yeah, it's one game.
There's always a great...
Minnesota could be up 6-0 in the second, and it's over with.
I like the vibe in these games, though. We've said it before. We rip baseball for all kinds of things, but I love that they added the second wild card team. But that wild card game has such a great atmosphere because the home crowd gets the opportunity to basically say to their team, "We love you. We know you weren't good enough to win the division. And we know we may not see you for a while, but we're going to give you the love for what you've done in the regular season." And usually there's a good atmosphere for that one night.
You start with elimination, and I like that.
Right.
So you start revving it up, and this can be at the end what it feels like, but only more revved up because you're in the World Series. But even if it's a 5-run game, you still feel the tension because someone's going home.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Fantastic stuff starting tonight. That is, by the way, 7 o'clock and ESPN tonight for the AL. The NL is going to be on TBS coming up tomorrow night.
TBD.
Not TBD.
TBS.
They know when it's scheduled, it's TBS.
Okay.
Still trying to get used to that as a baseball fan, that TBS has playoff games.
Well, you know what you do get?
I get Smoltz, don't I?
Well,
do I get Smoltz?
In post game, you know who you get.
Who do I get? Oh, is that Pedro? Who will say anything and swear?
Pedro has dropped at least one F-bomb I can think of.
Oh, I like that.
And I tweeted that out. It still may be on my Twitter deep in there.
Do they still have him and Pete Rose in the same room?
Well, I don't know with Rosie.
Oh.
Rosie. Why am I saying Rosie? Like, I like the guy.
Like Rosie.
Hey, Rosie. Is he Rosie? I don't know with Rose.
Those two guys, though, have been funny.
Remember the statutory rape story that came out from the 70s? Yeah, it seems like something's always coming out with Pete where...
That's fair. Sorry, my bad. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
And
that's fair with Pete's past. There's a lot to compile.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot to process. Also out of the NBA, two stories, and I frankly don't know which one's dumber, so I'm just going to read the headlines. LaVar Ball has announced that he will homeschool LaMelo Ball, the youngest of the Ball brothers, and train him. No word whether that affects the kid going to UCLA. We'll just set that one aside. The other one is, Kevin, that the All-Star game is now going to have captains that pick teams.
I saw that.
Yeah. Just in case you didn't realize.
Well, they already get their feelings hurt enough. I mean, this isn't going to help, right?
Yeah. Well, it's more drama. More drama. This is a league that doesn't have enough.
Isn't this kind of stirring up, like, 7th grade, the two chick cliques, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
When you don't have the competition and the drama on the floor, you have to make it up.
Ooh.
And that's what they're doing.
Whoa.
This whole league makes it up now.
Whoa. He said it.
Social media.
I agree with it. But he said it.
Off-season, soap operas. I'm reading through the story and it said, and the extra layer is
the interpersonal relationships between players and how that could be affected by who's picked. Teammates could be on different teams. And so it's like, oh my God, whatever.
You and I are so old.
It's like, what are we doing?
I don't care if they're taking knees. I don't care if they're standing. I don't care about interpersonal relationships. I'm here to watch them ball.
Can
right?
we play?
Can I watch them play?
What is it? Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. In our case, we are playing. We want to see the game. That's all we want to see.
That's what we're into.
We want a good game. A good game and a good sport, and that's not what they have.
We know our drug.
Yes.
We've been addicted to this for 40 years.
That's exactly right. All right, crap bag coming up.
Stop cutting it with baby powder, Chad.
The 345 variety of the crap bag. I'll tell you what the A&M game told me about this week against Bama and what it tells me about the Texas game on Saturday. Plus, big news for easily one of the coolest members of my family. Coming up on the Horn.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Yes, indeed. Crap bag time on a Tuesday here. And went all Brian Cushing there. All right. So first off, got a chance to go to Kyle Field on Saturday to see Texas A&M and South Carolina. And not that that game deserves serious breakdown, so that's why I put it in the crap bag. Those two teams are perfect for each other. They need to play every year. That's why they do play every year. They are both in the SEC, but neither play like an SEC team.
Mm-hmm.
Both are more comfortable when they're being cute, yet more successful when they're being physical. But they can't get control of their own physical. And
sounds like we got a perfect match.
Exactly. It was a bizarre. I didn't understand it when they got together, but watching it on Saturday, I thought, yeah, that makes
sense. So they play every year?
They do. They're the cross. That's the cross rival for A&M that they've created out of thin air.
Well, no. I mean, I knew that when I saw the matchup. I thought.
Classic.
Yeah. Felt right. Like Texas A&M.
It really was them or Missouri. That's all the Aggies really had left because everybody else was kind of tied into some things. Maybe it could have been Kentucky or Vanderbilt, but it ends up being South Carolina. So I experienced something I hadn't experienced in a while at Kyle Field, and it made me think of Texas and K-State and something you said last week. So A&M wins 24-17. They stunk the second quarter. They came back, and then the defense needed to step up and make stops. And Kevin, it had been a while since I watched a defense and a crowd win a game at Kyle Field.
It was loud. I was watching.
It was really loud.
It was.
My dad is one of the few dads in his 70s that could actually make this comparison, but he said, man.
And looked pretty crowded. I don't think it was packed.
No, 96.
96?
So,
and what does it hold?
102.5.
Okay.
So there's 6,000 or 7,000 seats.
Still a lot of people noise.
Yeah, 96 is still a lot of folks. My dad said, man. When they really got going, it kind of sounded like that Judas Priest concert we went to back in the day. And I said, yeah, that's fair.
That's awesome.
That only my dad can make that comparison. But it really did get loud. And it made me think of when we were talking Texas last week, and you, when I was comparing them to Virginia Tech, and you said, dude, what are you talking about? This is you. This is your wheelhouse. This is like old A&M days. And I thought about this game, and I thought about Trey, and guys like Trey that go to Texas games, and they're not dead fish in the seats. They do get active and they do get excited. There was a moment when it was seven.
He's got a dead fish story from DKR.
That's a totally different deal. But
Bender days, remember Trey? I'm sorry, continue.
When it was 17 all, and then when it was 24-17, when they needed the sound, the Aggie fans rose up, and they rose up on first and 10. They rose up on second down. It wasn't just about third down. And I've watched Texas teams have to ask their fans to get up on third down. Come on, let's go. But if Texas fans are listening to you that and watching this team, they're going to have to lean on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most important things your defense can have at home is the noise.
Yeah.
So for Texas fans going to this game, always remember that can happen, especially on the closed end of that stadium. By the way, I'd close in both ends as quickly as you can because that's effective. And the Aggies
are trying to.
And that end at the end of the A&M game, that used to be the open side because the other side is the one that Major and that group got stuck in the bonfire game. But now both sides are closed, and it is loud as hell when it gets going. So Texas fans, just remember now, you are leaning on a defense. You're an educated fan base that knows, hey, whatever we are, you can adapt to it. So get in there, do what Trey does, scream your head off at the right times, and help your defense out. Because I'm leaning towards picking Texas in this game, and the reason is because they're at home. Manhattan is a totally different deal. Texas can
It'll
make
be a good
this
crowd.
they can make this a pretty good environment, I think, if they want to.
1990, David Klingler having to call that timeout.
Right?
Oh,
it
man.
It can be big time.
The Blue Hairs were screaming, play one, up.
It can be.
With help, but up.
It can be big time. Trey, what do you think?
The problem is that you can count those moments on one or maybe two hands as a Longhorn fan, whereas at Kyle Field.
I just gave you 1990, I know. So what do you think about that?
I know, and I was thinking of the other three examples in my head where I'm like, yeah, I was so proud of my crowd in that moment.
West Virginia.
All the years. But
wasn't there a Missouri game or a...
Well, the Missouri game that sticks out in my head is when they had to clear the stadium. This is before the East End was built up. It was my freshman year at Texas, 1996, fall of 96. And they actually had to clear the stands at one point because of a weather delay. And the crowd that was left after the weather delay was a great crowd, but it was sparse, man.
I remember that.
That stadium was half full.
It was lightning, rain. And it was It was a rainstorm.
It really was. But
I got good seats by the end of that game, though.
That year, Notre Dame was a good crowd.
You're right about
Randy
that. For the Westbrook hit, absolutely. And that's one of those loud moments that I remember in my life of going and watching games at DKR. But that A&M crowd on Saturday, Chad, I agree with you. Even watching it on television, I was like, man, they have really gotten into this at the point where it was tied. Yeah. And then afterwards, they're waving the cleanup towels and doing a good job with the overall atmosphere of that game. I don't think Texas possesses the ability to do that against Kansas State on Saturday. Now, they will have the fact that it is an evening to night game that they are playing. So, in all likelihood, there will be more fans there at the start, and they will hopefully stick around past halftime. But the last time Kansas State played here was maybe the most raucous crowd in DKR that year. And again, it was a half full DKR filled with people who wanted to be in the stands because it was another one of those rainy games. So you had to want to be there and you had to want to root in order to stick out those conditions.
I know you treat this like a party and you only want, you know, a select amount of people, and people that really know what they're talking about are going to be into it. But we need as many people there as possible, even if they're, you know, just for the aesthetics.
Yeah, and it can definitely help out a defense. We'll see if the Longhorn crowd helps this defense out, because that's obviously where they lean. And by the way, for the people that have asked me already this week, hey, what do you think about A&M and Bama? I don't think it's going to be pretty for the Aggies at all.
Anthony said he's picking them.
Yeah, Anthony Geronimo did tell me at the press conference he's leaning and picking my Aggies. And
he did the same thing in 2012, did he not, Chad?
He tried to compare it to 2012. I would not make that comparison. I hope I'm wrong. Look, the defense is making some plays. If I had 11 Tyrell Dotsons out there, it'd be different. And Otara Alaka, I can feel him in a game the way I could not feel him before.
Shut up.
And there's other guys making plays. But I think we need
Alaka.
Here's the thing with A&M. Now, knowing who they're about to play, if I'm right, think about what this means. A&M's defense is just fine if you're trying to go side to side. But if you're trying to go straight at them, they're not as good. What's Bama like to do?
Yeah. No, they...
I think they're going to block and tackle the Aggies to death, and I think if Saban wants it for Scarborough, I think the kid could have a yardage total that starts with two.
I think it could be that kind of day. I was looking at their numbers last night, and this is a scary team. I would take them over Clemson right now, and I like Daboll. Like I said yesterday, there's some things I'm seeing from him that I like what he's done with Hurts. You knew Hurts was going to get better. You just didn't know how high is the ceiling. And I think we're still figuring that out. But he's got enough guys around him with that defense, that special teams, that coaching staff, and an SEC that's just not the same as it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's true, too.
They're not the same landmines.
The other crab bag item today is my niece got accepted to A&M yesterday. She got the acceptance letter. She's the Fighting Texas Aggie class of 2022. How's that make you feel?
Makes you
feel old?
It does make me feel old, but I've always said this, and it only gets more so. I mean, if you get into any of these schools, but especially if you get into Texas or Texas A&M, and obviously there are other ones in the state of Texas that are really tough to get into now.
Yeah.
Like getting into either one of those in 2017.
I know. Yeah.
I would want no part of that.
I don't think I could have done it in 2017. No. Congrats to her and anybody else out there that got that letter. If you had that dream, she's been talking about it since she was 3 years old. And she was indoctrinated. My dad and mom and some people probably did that to her at an early age. But she's wanted to be an Aggie
shot?
For a long time. No, I'm just saying, you know.
No. I mean, is that like a shot? Like flu shot?
There's no like medication.
Okay, I didn't know
how it is. It's like anything else. You put the kid in the Aggie onesie and it starts there and it just just the mind control that comes with it. But she's always wanted it, and then to get that yesterday was pretty cool. So congrats to her. Congrats to anybody out there that's gotten that letter or you're waiting on that letter. We hope you get it because it is a very cool moment. All right, there's your crap bag for 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock hour coming up. Plenty of football to get to. We'll see if there's anything we missed from the weekend. If you have any comments on Texas and K-State, let us know what you think of the matchup. We'll keep talking about that today as well. Remember, when we're done, it's the game plan with Bucky and Craig tonight out at the Hula Hut on Lake Austin Boulevard. Don't worry, they've got plenty of inside space for you if it's still raining. Half off chicken chili rellenos and $3.50 anything with Tito's. Now that's my kind of drink. More coming up on the Horn.